You know, this is an unusual day that we're living in. An unusual day. A day when He tells us to examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith. To prove ourselves, lest we be reprobates. Isn't that right? To prove ourselves, lest we be reprobates. You know, it's a sad thing to suddenly come to the acknowledgement that you're wrong. Many people are doing that. Brother Howard Walden yesterday, as we talked to him, Brother Howard Walden talked with us, and he said in so many words, Brother Pike, we've suddenly come to the acknowledgement that it's wrong to intermingle with the world, to look to the world for finance, to expect those in the upper class to support the gospel. He didn't use these words, but that was the essence of his conversation with me. We've learned it's wrong. Brother Franklin Walden told me, he said, Brother Pike, I've come to realize it's wrong. And said, I'm looking to the little people from now on. And I'm going to try to reach the little people. And said, I realize that this is going to affect my ministry. But said, nevertheless, I intend to do it. And Brother Howard told me yesterday, when he was talking to me, he said, Brother Pike, said it really has affected Brother Walden's ministry. That it really has. Said it's made a difference. But said he's determined that he's going to do it anyway. Now that's the right attitude. When we take that attitude, then God can reach us and God can bless us. Isn't that right? When we take the attitude that we're going to preach the gospel to the poor, for the gospel is sent unto the poor, then God will bless us. It is a true fact that God is blessing us at Little Bethlehem. And people all around the nation and different parts of the world, they know that. They see that and they acknowledge that. They're wholeheartedly ready to endorse the fact that God is blessing in Little Bethlehem. And many, many people are coming and they are begging apology and they're saying, Brother Pike, we're sorry. You know, we're sorry that we had the outlook that we've had. And you know, it would do a lot of you right here, that's right here in the sanctuary, it would do a lot of you good if you'd come and say, Brother Pike, I've had the wrong thoughts and the wrong plans and the wrong outlook, and I'm not going to try to smooth it over, but I'm going to come up here and acknowledge the fact that I have had the wrong outlook, and I want you to forgive me of the things that I've had in my heart and in my mind, because I have been wrong. That would do a lot of you real good if you would do that very thing right there. And I'll promise you that rather than trying to smooth it over and to just make out and go on by, you know, like you never did do it, I promise you, if you'd acknowledge it, God would do something for you. But many of you will never do it. You'll just bypass it. You'll go on by and try to work it out and never let Brother Pike know what was said behind the closed doors and out in secret by coming and confessing. You'll never let me know. But I know anyway, because Jesus has already told me. So then, it isn't that I don't know. It's just that you're not getting any benefits out of the fact that I do know, because you won't come and acknowledge what the Lord's already shown me. But I love you just as much. Now, so then you say, Brother Pike, are you calling for an apology to you? No, I'm calling for an apology to God. Say, well, I could go home and apologize to God. No, you can't do it that way. See, the Bible said you do it under the least of these, you do it under God. See, you can't do that. The Bible said if you have aught against your brother, there ain't no need to go to God. That's right. It said if you have aught against your brother, make it right with your brother first, and then bring thine alms and thine offerings unto God. Then God will receive you. But see, if you have aught against your brother, now when you say aught, that's getting pretty close, didn't it? Aught. Just anything. Aught means if you just have any little old thing against your brother. Just aught. Just any little old thing against your brother. Then you have to come and confess it. Make it right with God, else God won't forgive you. Is that right? Lest you forgive men their trespasses from your heart. God won't forgive your trespasses. How do you agree to that? All right. So then you've got to come and apologize to God. Not to Brother Pike. I'm not saying that I'm God. I'm Brother Pike. But you've got to come and apologize to God. And to be able to do that, you've got to not to know a man after the flesh, but after the Spirit, and acknowledge that that is the body of the Lord Jesus, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Is that right? All right, when you do that, then God will bless you. I want to read to you here in the 12th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. Paul here in the 12th chapter, at the first verse, he said, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions." And I like that, don't you? See, notice what the man of God says here now. Now, you might be tired. I understand that. You might be tired, but you can simmer down and be at rest and listen to the Word of God and have an interest. Tired people can still have an interest. "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I really like the way he says that. He says that with such a positive outlook, such a determination, such a perseverance. In other words, he lays it out like he knows exactly what he's talking about, and like he's got such a great confidence in God that nobody's going to turn him away from what he believes. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. "So I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle was wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same step? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found in you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbiting, whisperings, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanliness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time. And being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned and do all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear proved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord has given me to edification and not to destruction. All right. Now, if you notice here, Paul highlights quite a number of things toward the perfecting of the church. One thing that he speaks of is the abundance of the revelation of God where he was caught up into the third heaven. But the thing that Paul emphasizes here is that I am coming to you for the third time. Oh, I tell you, if you only knew what God was telling you tonight. I am coming to you for the third time, Paul said. Let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. God spoke to Brother Branham and told Brother Branham that there would be a third pull. Is that right? That there would be a third pull and the people would come before God the third time. The third time that God would do something the third time. Is that right? God would bring to pass in the land one more time a move of God. And the third time, Paul said, I'm coming unto you. This time I've been over there to visit with you twice. And this time is the third time I'm coming over there to visit with you one more time. And Paul said, I want to know what's going on. Said you, he gives a complaint here that they've not really received him as the minister of God. They've thought him to be a reprobate. They've said all kind of things against him. And he said, when I come, I find wrath among you. You want to dispute, you want to have strife, you want to have debate. He said, I find all of this among you. And said, I'm coming to you the third time. But said, now this visitation is going to be different from the other visitations that you've got. Now, you've got some other visitations in the past, Paul said, but said this visitation is going to be different from the other visitations. And I'm asking God that when I come among you, that God will humble me, that I won't be lifted up among him, that I won't have to use the sharpness of correction that God has given to me and my authority to use unto you. He said, I magnify my office as the apostle of the Gentile church. You know, a lot of people say, Brother Pike, don't you think you take too much on yourself? They said to Moses, you know, said, Moses, we think you take too much on yourself. Isn't that right? Paul, you take too much on yourself. But I want you to know something, that a minister of God has power and authority in the earth, and he doesn't take too much on himself. When God sends him into the earth, he sends him for your good. He sends him for your benefit. But just because he humbles his heart before you, just because he just wants to be one of the fellows, just because he wants to live like you and be like you, that doesn't mean that God hasn't given him power and that God hasn't given him authority to direct the cause of mankind toward that which God desires him to be. All right, so Paul said, I'm coming again to you. I've come to you and said, I tried not to be burdensome to you. I tried to make my own way. I tried to do the things that I felt was right. I labored among you. I tried to be an example. I didn't eat your food for naught. I didn't ask you for your money. I just labored and made my own way. But he said, after I did all of that, I was despised in your sight. You still didn't receive me. And you looked on the other churches and the other ministers, and you thought all of that was more interesting than what God had given to you. Said, the third time I'm coming around, so it's going to be different next time.
You know, Jesus came into this world, and when the Lord Jesus came into this world, the first time he came meek and lowly, riding on the foal of an ass. Is that right? Jesus came very meek, and Jesus became very lowly. He called for the colt of an ass, and he got on it. He rode into Jerusalem very humble, very much like a peasant. He came into Jerusalem very humble, humbling himself to find out who his friend was. But there came a time when Jesus said, I will return. And the next time I return, it won't be as it was before. It'll be a difference. And Brother, Revelation 19, according to the record that speaks of the future return of Jesus Christ, it proves that there will be a difference. This time he's not coming meek and lowly on the foal of an ass. This time he's not coming to be born in a manger for people to spit upon and ridicule. He's not coming to surrender himself that people might lift him up in their authorities and powers and place him on a cross. But this time Christ is coming in the power and the anointing of God in Revelation 19 to declare war upon the nations. And all of the saints of God is going to follow him. I'm coming to you the third time, Paul said. And when I come this time, I mean business. All right. So then what we need to do is shake ourselves, folks, because there is something that is taking place. There is something that's outstanding that's taking place. God is giving us another chance. I will ride this trail again. I will ride this trail again, the Spirit said. Somebody said, oh, I believe Brother Branham said that. I believe the Spirit of God said that. Somebody said, oh, the Spirit of God wouldn't talk like that. He wouldn't ride this trail again, talking about riding a horse. But in Revelation 19, he rides a horse. He comes in on a white horse. Is that right? He said, I will ride this trail again. I believe that was God speaking. That's right. I believe that was God. Now, I believe in my heart, and I'm just as honest as I can be, I believe that Brother Branham missed the prediction. I believe he missed the prediction of the destruction of America according to what he stated. I believe that. You say, why do you believe that? Because I have the book. I have the writings. And the writings emphatically state, I saw the smoldering of the rocks, and I predict that this will happen before the year of 77. The year before the year of 77. So it isn't a matter of him being right or it coming to pass to justify what he said, because he's already missed it. He said it was before the year of 77. And he spoke of 77 bringing in the millennium, ushering in the millennium. Now, I do not believe that Brother Branham was wrong in the vision. I said that the other night. As far as the vision that he had, I do not believe that he was wrong in the vision. I believe that the vision that Brother Branham saw, where America will be blown to bits, I believe it will happen just exactly the way that God showed him would happen. But there is a difference in God giving you a revelation, in God giving you a vision, and in a man just making a prediction. Is that right? Brother Branham did not say God made the prediction. He did not say God said it was going to happen. He did not say it's thus saith the Lord. He said it is a prediction that I myself make according to what I have seen. He was wrong. All right. So then if Brother Branham was wrong, then that proves what I've said so many times. I said I love Brother Branham. I love Paul. I love Peter. I love James. I love all of them. But brethren, men can be wrong. You can say, well, he's never said anything that didn't come to pass. But he did say something that didn't come to pass. Not only that, but before that he said numbers of things that didn't come to pass. Somebody say, well, he never said anything that was thus saith the Lord. I know that he never said anything that was thus saith the Lord that didn't come to pass. But I contend this, there never lived a man on the face of the earth. But what if he said it's thus saith the Lord, and it was thus saith the Lord, it always come to pass, whether it's me or you or anybody else. Somebody would say, well, every time he said thus saith the Lord, it came to pass. I don't know about that. That's between you and Brother Branham and the Lord. I can't prove that, but I can say this. Every time he said thus saith the Lord, if it was thus saith the Lord, it came to pass. You love Jesus? But men do make mistakes. Now, I believe this with all of my heart. I said, God is going to let something happen to open the the blind eyes of those that say they are Brother Branham's followers. I said he's going to do just like he did in the days of Moses. It went ill with Moses for the sake of the people. God had to let something happen to Moses to get the people's eyes on God. And I said God is going to let the same thing happen. Whereas he did. He let the very same thing happen. It happened to Brother Branham, and he missed the prediction that God might wake the people up to the fact that they have not been following Brother William Branham. They've been following their own ideas about it. They followed what they thought about it. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, don't you believe those people followed Moses? I certainly do not believe they followed Moses. I don't believe them people followed Moses. I don't believe the Jews followed Moses. If they had followed Moses, God would never have cut them off. They had Moses' word. They had Moses' law. They had what God had said to Moses. But they never did follow Moses. They never did follow Moses. That's why God got angry with them. That's why it caused the earth to open up and to swallow them up. Because they did not follow Moses. Neither do you follow Brother Pike either. You don't follow Moses. They never followed Moses. Brother Branham's followers doesn't follow Brother Branham. That's why they died in the wilderness. Brother Branham didn't die in the wilderness. Brother Branham had made a contact with God. Neither did Moses die in the wilderness. God took Moses over into the real Canaan land. You say you can't prove it, but I can. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he stood there with Moses and Elijah. He went over into the real promises of God. Moses didn't die in the wilderness. The people died in the wilderness. Is that right? God didn't die in the wilderness. God led the people right on into the Canaan land of God. Oh, I know some of you just about choke on that. You can't hardly stand that. You'd just about rather somebody beat you with a buggy whip than to have to acknowledge what Brother Pike is saying, but it happened. So help me God, it happened. You've got to admit that Brother Branham missed a prediction because his own words, his own printed page saying that he did. How many of you said, well, bless God, I just ain't going to believe it anyway. Boy, you sure are in bad shape, I'll tell you. You say that you're one of his followers and you don't even believe what he said. All right. So then, it's just exactly like I said. I like what Paul says here. Paul said, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. Not because of my many visions. It didn't say that. Not because of much power that I have with God. It didn't say that. Is that right? Somebody would say, well, I believe it was because he had a great sign in his life. I believe it was because he healed the sick and raised the dead, that that was given to him a great thorn. But the Bible doesn't say that. See, you might say that, but God told me to preach the word. The Bible doesn't say that. God didn't give him a thorn in the flesh because he'd done great wonders and miracles. Why was it that God did not give him a thorn in the flesh because of that? Because Peter had already done that. Peter raised the dead. Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. And also Elijah and the others had raised the dead and done great things. Others had seen visions. But there was something that Paul had that the others didn't have. And that was the chief cornerstone of the whole thing. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh because of my much revelation, lest I be exalted above measure. Why was that? Because the revelation of Jesus Christ is the revealing of the Son of God. When Paul raised the dead and Paul healed people, he didn't need a thorn in the flesh for that. Peter had already done that. Peter had already done that. The others had already done that. But nobody had ever before in the history of the world stand up and say, it pleased God that he should reveal Christ in my life. That was the difference. God has chosen me from my mother's womb to reveal Christ in my life. Not I that liveth, Paul said, but Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God. It is the revelation of Christ coming forth. from within me. Christ is revealed to the nations, Paul said. What is it? It's that great thing that John spoke about. It's that great principle. It's not a miracle. It's not somebody raised from the dead. It's not somebody that can preach good. It's not somebody that can shout and be emotional and prophesy. But it's the divine God himself, the mind of God, the Word, the living Word that spoke the world into existence. I love God better than all of his gifts. I love the giver better than I love his gifts. God himself, he gave many gifts. But you know, David and Solomon gave gifts. They gave gifts. Is that right? They gave gifts to the concubines. They gave gifts to those wives that was called concubines that did service for them. But when they got down to the bride, when David got down to the one that he really loved, he never gave a gift, but he gave himself to her. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's a woman sitting here. If she could just get a hold of God just a little bit and get away from that old way of life she's followed, the shouting and the hollering and the prophesying, and get into God, God would do something for her. But you can't get it. You can't put new wine in old bottles. Hallelujah. I know who I'm talking to. I know where I'm going, and I know who the new bottles is. Hallelujah. This is the new thing. That's why you sat on my bench and do the way you do. The elders died in the wilderness. What is the wilderness? That old intellectual wondering and figuring that you do. You say, I fasted, I prayed, I've done this, I saw that. But that isn't the answer, my brother. That isn't the answer. God gives more grace to the humble. There is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now Peter could have said, see here, Paul. I was with God before you was. Couldn't he? Why is it that you say you have the revelation of Jesus Christ? I was with God before you ever was. But Paul could have said, Peter, I was with God before the foundation of the world. I saw a revelation. And I saw myself with God before you was ever born into the world, Peter. There's a difference. God had a ministry for Peter. He gave him the keys to the kingdom. But even with all of that, he didn't have to have a thorn in the flesh, did he? He didn't. Why? Because though he raised the dead, though he saw visions, though he was caught away in a trance, yet there is no record where Peter said that he went up into the third heaven. What was it? Paul, the revelator. He said, I am the apostle to the Gentile church. God has sent me to do the job. The rapture of the church. It was the catching away of the bride. It was the rapture of the church. That was a new era that come in. Peter represented that thing right up to Calvary. But here was Paul, who was the revelator of Jesus Christ, that saw the thing that John saw over there on the Isle of Patmos. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, where do you think John got it? I wonder if maybe Paul made it known to him. Somebody said, but wait a minute. John was with Jesus before Paul was. But according to the record, Paul got the revelation before John did. And John said that one of them came and made it known to him. Say, is that right, Brother Pike? Well, I'm not saying it that way, but it's a good thing to think on, ain't it? Hallelujah. He did say, I'm of one of the brethren, didn't he? Did he say that? I'm of one of the brethren. I'll just let you figure out which one of the brethren was. I don't know, but one of the brethren had it. You can figure out whichever one you want to, you know. But there's one thing about it. Folks, we've got something today that the world has never had before. This third time I'm coming to you, Jesus said. We've got something. We've got a hold of something. And God is bringing to pass something he never had before in the history of mankind. Hallelujah. I'm going to come around the third time, Paul said, and when I come over, I said, I'm going to have a talk with you. And it's going to be a little different from what it was before. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what are we going to do? We're going to go up into the third heaven. Third heaven. Paul said, folks, I got a confession. He said, I don't know whether I was in my body or out of my body. I don't know. He said, I can't tell. I don't know whether he just caught me up body and all or whether he didn't. I don't know. But he said, there's one thing I do know. I went into the third heaven. Is that right? And there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh because of my much revelation. Oh, Brother Peter had raised the dead. Amen. He raised Dorcas up from the dead. He done great and mighty things. He healed the sick. He raised them off of the stretches. He restored the blind eyes. He unstopped the deaf ears. But there's one thing that he didn't testify of doing, and that's going into the third heaven. So then Paul had something on him. Paul raised the dead, opened the blind eyes, unstopped the deaf ears, saw vision just like Peter did. But he said, I was caught away into the third heaven. That's the difference. Somebody said, how much difference? A world of difference. Another world. How did you do that, Paul? Well, he could say, well, I saw a vision. Now, I wouldn't do it. See, seeing a vision wouldn't catch you up to the third heaven. Is that right? No, sir, ain't no way to do that. Paul, how did you get up there? You must have raised a dead man. Or you must have opened some blind eyes. No, that won't do it. No, that won't take you to the third heaven. That's good. Oh, that's wonderful. That's God. That's what we need in the church. It's what we need in the world today. That's wonderful. Do we need that? Sure we need that. What do we need that for? To win the world for God. But that isn't going to translate the church. You may win the world for God by doing those things. But brother, when it comes to being translated into the third heaven, there is something that's got to happen to you. You've got to get the revelation of Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Why has God withheld this thing here until the end time? Why is it that God has placed it on our heart down through these years of our ministry to emphasize the revelation of Jesus Christ? Because it's the last thing. It's the last go round. Amen. This is it. Like Brother Parnell said, that I saw something in that church, like the Ark of the Covenant, something that had never been known to mankind. Said it was something that was new. I saw the waters go through the valley again and said that time when it went through the valley said, that done it. That done it, said the voice said, the ones that miss it this time will miss it altogether. Said it won't be back anymore. So old Brother Paul said, I'm coming the third time. And said, while I'm talking to you, get your mind off of your business. Amen. Hallelujah. How do you know I got a business? I got a business. I'd like to make you a partner in my business. You say, what kind of business have you got? I'm about my Father's business. Hallelujah. I've got something to do for my Father. Paul said, I'm coming your way the third time. I'm going to give you one more chance to do something for Jesus, to do something for God. Isn't that right? Oh, how beautiful the revelation is. I'm going to say this, and you'll probably want to crucify me, but I'm going to say it anyway. I watched the thing that took place concerning the tent. We'd been watching Brother Wilson as the seven church ages was closed out. And I watched you here as you thought you had everything figured out. Some of you so sure that you got it. I watched as Brother Wilson typically closed out them church ages, passing them seven Trinity churches. Brother Branham among the Trinity, Jesus going away from the Jesus name people, that is away from the Jews to get a bride from the Gentile. Is that right? Have you listened to me? You say, but Brother Wilson was a Trinity. I brought Brother Wilson into Jesus' name many years ago when he was a real young man. He went away to get himself a bride. Is that right? Out of the assemblies of God, it wasn't Brother Wilson, it was Christ. And he closed out the church ages, and you saw him preach the revival And that night I gave him the belt that said 20th century prophet. That's what Brother Branham was. And he closed it out. It was closed out. And then God said, I'll do a new thing. I'll do a new thing. And I watched God use Brother Zell. And I do want to say something about Brother Godwin in a few minutes if I can. But I watched God use Brother Zell. When he went down to get the tent, Brother Zell, having a zeal to get into that revelation and be part of that revelation and not miss it, but not being in the mind of God like he ought to, he had him put that tent in his name. And they put the tent in his name. And they put the fire protection in his name. That was perfectly in line with what God wanted. Using him all the time. When I went to Mr. Shaw, I said, that's not right. I said, the thing has to be changed. Mr. Shaw didn't change it. But I knew that it would be changed when the tent went up. Why? Because the name Carnes means flesh. And it has to do with that which falls into the flesh. It belongs to God, but it's taken from the name Jesus. And it falls into the flesh. And so Brother Wilson came along, set his trailer right down there, and they got a staunch fellowship together. And Satan almost caused him to miss God by talking to him. And about the place called Pope over yonder. How do you know the Pope can make you miss God if you listen at him? How do you know that? Almost miss God. But God came in and God corrected it. And with all of Brother Zell's heart, he repented, turned to God, and just now come in. Told me, said, I'm just now coming in. I know that because I spoke of it. I got one or two here that's just now come in. Just now come in. But it has to be changed from the name flesh to the name Jesus Christ. Why? Because the old had to go as far as the time meridian. It had to go over to the meridian. It was shown by George Jr. When George Jr. redeemed the tent in the tight, after that the tent was left, and he brought it here back to the brethren. And God said to me, he said, when the tent goes up, Jr. will come back from Hawaii. And he came back. It went up yesterday. Or they started with it yesterday, they got it up today, and Junior flew in today. What time? They took him down on the cross at 3. Are you listening? While he's been over there, he's been in a scooper diving. I don't know what that is. But he says he can go 200 feet down under the water. What is that? See, Christ went way down, isn't that right? And then he got all excited. He said, but you know what? He said, I've soloed already too. Said, I didn't learn how to fly. Said, I'm going to get my license when I go back. See, he that went down deep ascended high above the heavens. Is that right? God working his types and shadows to bring about the miraculous thing of the revelation of Jesus Christ. When that hard winter set in, Rick being killed, being crucified, and that typical thing, his heart being broken when he just tried to serve God, being a babe, caught up to the throne, he went right over there to a place where they say, they got a little saying, no shame in Hawaii. That is, it's a land without shame. They won't let you clutter up the streets where he's at, so they won't let you, said, you even fail your driver's license test if you don't tell them, you know, that you can't throw nothing on the street. What about that? You follow me? It's a clean, strict way of living over there in their disciplined way of life. A paradise caught up. What? So that when he was caught up, the tribulation of his hard winter might pass. And then that which was raptured before, that as it was caught up, the firstborn following our name, caught up over yonder to rest until the tribulation, and then returned back. How do you know that I made the statement, resurrected at Easter, seen of the brethren 40 days, caught away, having to do with the speeding trip, 10 days returning with the Pentecost, which has to do with July camp meeting. You understand what I'm saying? All right, so it is working beautifully. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me your son's in a paradise? All right, let's just look at it. How do you believe God does what he wants to when he gets ready? Rick had gotten in such a condition over here that it's very, I doubt if anybody would have sold him a loaf of bread on credit. Come on. I don't know whether you'd have given the money to buy one or not. But already, since you've been over there, got a good credit rating, got a new car, helped somebody else get a nice car, got over $100,000 home, got a Bank of America card, got excellent credit. The man says he lent him up as high as $17,000. You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, I'm just telling you, you do whatever you want to with it. You don't believe me or anybody anyway. You're just an unbeliever. But I'm talking to the believers. What is it? It is a paradise. God prepared it that way. God made it that way. Why? For 2 days a week, I don't know how long. I understand, I believe. But I say it for your cause. I don't know just how long, but I know one thing. God is working it just perfect. The changeover, they put the tent up. Is that right? They put it up. When do they put it up? They put it up on Friday. Is that right? Sure. But it had to be taken down. Why? The boy came in at 3 o'clock. That should have run just right with the tent. Why? They gave the poles. It was too short. The three, the Trinity, wouldn't work. You follow me? They got to weld some pieces on it. What does that mean? That means they got to get something that's been tried in the fire. They've got to have something else. Can't reach high enough. Oh, I see a lot in it. But anyway, that is just exactly like God showed it. It had to be taken down because he was put up, but he was taken down. They said a storm will hit it. If water gets on it, it'll sag, it'll bust it. Take it down. What was it? Brother Wilson went and picked out that Baldwin organ. He's just like I am. He don't know nothing about no organ. It was pretty to him, so he picked it out. God prepared his heart to do it. As far as I was concerned, it's pretty nice. They could have kept it, you know, as far as the natural is concerned. But then we put an authority. Sister Dale's an authority on music. She's played ever since she's a little bitty girl. Some of you won't like that either, but nevertheless, it works that way. And so she played it. And though I said, Dale, it's beautiful. It makes chimes. It does all kinds of things. When she played the DC-3 from Pikes Peak in Colorado at the Garden of Gods, she rejected it. What was it? It didn't equal the Garden of God. It didn't come up to the standard of the Garden of Gods. So the Baldwin went back. It was rejected. Is that right? The old going out and the new coming in. And then the next thing we know, then here comes a piano inside. Well, I had to do something. I done bought the organ. So then I had to just say, hey, man, you take this thing back. You know, we ain't going to have it. And I thought, well, Lord, what can I do? And the Lord said, you know, he revealed to me, just get a baby grand. That'll work fine. I just want one anyway. Isn't that just right? I said early in the service, the grand baby being caught up to the throne right now would be just, that'd be just perfect. Say, where's the throne? Well, here's the 7 candlesticks. It'd be somewhere in this area. Now, somebody said, you mean to tell me that God's up there? He said, it's not me speaking, but God, he must be up here. Said if 2 or 3 come together, said he'd be in the midst of us. Said that judgment would begin at the house of God. Somebody said, well, what's that got to do with you? It's the judgment that I give. If I bind it, it's bound. If I loose it, it's loose. Isn't that what the judge does? If I bless it, it's blessed. If I curse it, it's cursed. Isn't that right? Come on, folks. Let's look at it like it is. You say, but you, Brother Pike, I'm not Brother Pike. Brother Pike was crucified with Christ, buried, and put away beneath the waters. And it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Let this mind be in you, the royal blood. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? All right, so he is risen. Brother Terrell put out a magazine. I said, that magazine has to do with it. Had a big picture on the front. The world busted open. Christ is risen. I said, that's it right there. They brought it up there and laid it right there on the top of that Baldwin organ. All right, so then now, we'll see how much this has got to do with it. Sister Dale now, they went off, her and Brother Beretta went off to Atlanta in the Cadillac now. Remember the redemption of the body. Went off up there to get the Hammonds. And they succeeded in securing what we needed. But at the same time, she fastened her eyes on a beautiful, white, glassy-like Yamaha. And she says it's just, she's carried away with it. I said, but how does it sound? She says, wonderful. Now, I don't know where it sounds wonderful because she likes the looks of it or what, but she says it's wonderful. But anyway, nevertheless, you understand what I'm saying? A baby grand. God, where did he want the baby grand? In the tent? No, at little Bethlehem. You understand what I'm saying? One plan failed, but God doing a new thing. Paul said, I'm coming to you the third time. I'm going to let it be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. He said, this is the third time it's coming, and when I come this time, he said, I am going to nail it down. I'm going to nail it down this time. He said, there ain't going to be no hereafters in this. There ain't going to be no follow-ups in this. There ain't going to be nobody say, well, we're going to get a fourth time. He said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, we're going to nail it down, and that's going to be it. Whatever your decision is, that's going to be it throughout eternity. Whatever outlook you take, that's what it's going to be throughout eternity, my brother. The third time. You love the Lord? I visited you down in Egypt. That was all right. You didn't do like I told you to do. Well, then I came to visit with you out there. After I visited you down in Egypt with Joseph, you didn't do right. And then I visited you over there in the wilderness with Moses. You still didn't do right. But said, I'm going to send old brother Joshua along. And said, this time I want you to do right. We are going in the Canaan land. Hallelujah. We are going across the Jordan. And whatever the decision is, that's what it's going to be. I'm going to give him some power. He's going to have power to tell the Jordan to roll back just like Moses did the Red Sea. Somebody said, wow, look at Moses. God said, wow, look at Joshua. Come on. Somebody said, if God didn't say wow, I'm using an expression right there. Hallelujah. I'm just showing God's feelings about it, you know. You know what the word wow means? That's really something, you know. God thought Joshua was really something. Is that right? Somebody said, where do you get that? Said, Joshua. Said, when you say to the sun, stand still, said, it's not going to move a peg. Somebody said, he didn't say it wasn't going to move a peg. I never did hear him call you by name. But I believe he did. Because you got one. And the Bible said he works all things after the counsel of his own will. That peg come from somewhere. You didn't think of it. You understand? All right. So then God said to Joshua, said, son, said, when you say stop, it's going to stop. And when you tell the moon to stop, said, it's going to stop. And said, not only that, but Joshua, I've never hearkened unto a man's voice like I'm going to hearken unto your voice. Never before have I done it. Somebody said, but now look at here, Brother Pike. You don't mean to tell me that Joshua was greater than Moses. No, I didn't say that. But let's just examine it and see what we got. You wouldn't say that Christ was greater than Jesus, would you? Would you? Somebody said, now what are you trying to tell me? Well, the Bible does speak after this fashion. Greater is the man that lives in the house than the house. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I said, he said the man that's living in the house is greater than the house. Is that right? And he said, if this little tabernacle be dissolved, is that right? We've got another one eternal in the heavens. Somebody said, you're trying to prove that Christ was greater than Jesus. I'm trying to tell you that Jesus testified of Christ. Jesus said, it's not me that's doing it, but Christ in me that's doing it. It is Christ that's doing the work. It wasn't Moses. It was God's Joshua and Moses that done the work. It was the Holy Ghost of God, the Christ in his life. That's what Joshua represented. He represented the greater part of it. In what way? I've never hearkened unto a man's voice like I'll hearken unto yours. If you can prove anywhere that God ever listened to anybody like he did to Christ, I'll go along with you. Somebody said, now wait a minute. What was it that Jesus said? Not what you think. Let's leave what he did say. He said, neither the Son. I don't know about it, but the Christ only. He knows when it happened. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. God's good, ain't he? When you think you got it figured out, you got it all wrong. It's just exactly the contrary. All right, I'm going to close here now. A lot of things I'd like to say tonight. But we was having a little problem even from the beginning because I couldn't get you to spark up. But I want to say this little, just a little closing thought here to you. Remember, I'm coming to you for the third time. Somebody said, Brother Pike, what do you mean you're coming to me for the third time? Did I say I was coming to you for the third time? He said, what are you saying, Brother Pike? They said, Jesus, we don't know what you're saying. Said, what are you saying? Said, it not be me that speak, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within me. All right, so he said, I will come to you the third time. This time it's going to be like a saber to me. I'm going to nail it on. Brother Brandon said, I nailed the board on this time so the wind don't get it. All right, so there's a lot I could say tonight, folks. But from the bottom of my heart, I want you to think, I love you with all of my heart. God is love. Isn't that right? I love you. But the thing is, let's listen, let's pray, let's believe, let's forget about our own ideas. Because when you think you got it figured out, you got it figured out wrong. Now, I love you. Listen to me now. I'm going to close. There was somebody here tonight that they knew, they was positive. This was one time that it wasn't going to change. They knew they had it figured out tonight. They were sure of it this time, but it didn't go that way, did it? If you had it figured out, why didn't it go that way? I've missed it before, somebody would say, but this time I know I got it figured out. All right, so then I love you. But I'll tell you something I told you before the service, before the preaching, I tell you again. If we will humble our hearts in Jesus, if we will love Jesus more than all of his gifts, if we will love him more than all of the world, love him with all of our heart, love him with all of our strength, love him with all of our might, then God will do something for us. You love Jesus? All right, let's stand together. I love you. I really do love you. I wouldn't hurt you for nothing in the world. I want to help you. I'm less than nothing as Brother Pike. Less than nothing. It's not I that can do anything, but God within me, the Bible said, he can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. He can do abundantly and above all that I'm able to ask or even think. I can't even think, you know, as much as he can do. I can't. All I can do is just trust in his mercy. And the little woman said, have mercy on me. And the man up at the temple beat on his chest said, have mercy on me. And the woman said, I'll just eat of the crumbs. It don't matter. Just give me a few crumbs. Jesus said, oh, how sweet. How wonderful. That's the kind of attitude the church needs. When the church gets away from that old thing, I'm a Pentecostal. I'm a Baptist. I'm a church of God. We church of God, folks. We got it. Somebody said, no, we're Assembly of God, folks. We're the ones who got it. Somebody said, no, we UPC. UPC, we're the ones who got it. No. No, that ain't it at all. The children of God's got it. See, he's blind to the rest, and they're the ones who's got it. Are you a child of God? All right, if you're a child of God, you're not UPC. If you're a child of God, you're not Baptist. If you're a child of God, you're not Church of God. You're not Assembly of God. Is that right? All right, we was talking, you know, you get to heaven and somebody say, who are you? Say, I'm Assembly of God. There's no such record up here. We don't know about that name. So I say, you see there, I told you. See, I'm Church of God. No, we don't have a record of that either. Somebody say, they both of you wrong. I'm UPC. Say, but we don't have no record up here of that either. Some other fellow comes up there and he looks up and said, oh God, have mercy on me. I'm a Christian saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. He'll say, we got a record in heaven of the Son of God. And it reads like that. It reads like it. It says in here that he does things for people like that. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. Hallelujah. Like somebody said one time, when they all got to heaven and there they stood, all of them up there in heaven. You know, and one fellow, he was asked the question of what he had done in earth and he began to make his confession. And it was left out because of his shortcomings. And about that time, his lawyer stepped up. When the great voice said, you done wrong. No hope for you. And then the lawyer stepped up and he held out a hand. And the great judge of all the ages said, wait a minute. He said, I recognize that. Wait a minute. And a little voice said, for my sake. He said, that makes all the difference. Your name's here. That makes all the difference right there. I mean it, folks. It's going to make all the difference. No big eyes and little you. I'm the least one among you. less than nothing. But I believe in the blood. Glory to God, I believe in the blood of Jesus. I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe He died for me. Can we sing a song? Do you believe in the blood tonight? Do you believe in the blood? All right, God bless you. You're a good audience. Forgive me if I've done you wrong. I wouldn't do nobody wrong for nothing. Let's sing this little chorus together if you believe in it. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.